We broadcast from the downtown, the brand new downtown Elyria McDonald's. We've got the mayor of Elyria, Holly Brinda. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning and happy holidays.
Same to you. We'll talk about the festival of lights, the lighting up of the square and everything in a moment. But it was about a year ago or so, wasn't it, Craig? Or was it 18 months? We talked to Mayor Brinda and she mentioned somehow that there was going to be new construction here at this corner. There was part of the vacant lot and there were some other buildings that had been closed. Now we're sitting in the brand new McDonald's.
That's right. It's a wonderful $3 million improvement to this corner. The city worked with McDonald's to replace Tremont Street behind us here. And it's one of many projects downtown. Just from my view right here, I can see a new law office being built, kitty corner to this new building. And we've got a new investor downtown. We've got a brand new restaurant that just opened. And we've got more development happening. We've got a major renovation going on down at in the former Rendezvous Cafe building. And so there's some really good things starting to happen in downtown Elyria. And this McDonald's in and of itself was a lot of fun. We worked with McDonald's Corporation, and if you come in here and visit, and hopefully you'll have a chance to do that very soon, we wanted to make sure that we reflected the history of Elyria in here. So we worked with the Lorain County Historical Society, and you can see some shots of old-time Broad Street, which are a lot of fun. These are pictures that our grandparents and parents might have seen as children. So,
yeah, and you try to match up the current day, what building is still standing, to sort of know what you're looking at and figuring out how
it
is.
Right.
And of course, some of these buildings in downtown Elyria, they've got the date carved into the bricks up there. So you look at a building and you're thinking, wow, that building is over 100 some years old. And
you know, Elyria is so fortunate because so many newer cities are trying to recreate what we already have. You know, the bones of downtown are still very intact, and we want to make sure that we reinvest in it while it's still here, and we can still create a unique atmosphere for people to come and enjoy it.
You even have the mural where the former City Hall used to be, and there was an empty lot, and now the art people put murals up there, which just sort of adds a different ambiance to that section.
Yeah, we're really trying to grow the arts in downtown Elyria as well. We got a state appropriation grant, and we were able to purchase the former Brandau Jeweler building and give a permanent home to both the new Elyria Arts Council and also Invest Elyria upstairs. The city wants to do whatever we can to help nurture these nonprofits who are trying to improve downtown and our city. And that adjoining property is going to be quite a fantastic project when it's done. The beginning was the two large art murals, and there's actually four more murals being painted downtown as part of our bicentennial. But that space in and of itself eventually is going to be an open-air market, and there's actually going to be a structure built down the middle of that with glass walls on either side that can kind of slide up and down, and the facility will be able to use it for not only an open-air market, but events and other things downtown. So,
do you see that coming in the spring or summer? Or?
Well, the structure itself will be temporary at first. We're working with a number of partners, and we have to raise some money to build the permanent structure. The permanent structure is going to cost about $800,000 to build, but we have a temporary structure going up that will provide the same type of coverage. We have a partnership with the Lorain County Health District, and they're interested in bringing more food to downtown. So there'll be a tent erected in the spring in time for the bicentennial events, and then we see the actual building be built the following year.
You said the bicentennial word.
Yes, I did.
It's on the front of the city's website. A new logo has been created.
Right.
With the mill. I guess that's that they show in the centerpiece of that. 200 years. I would have thought Elyria would have been older 200 years, the bicentennial, but it hasn't, so it's just...
Well, 200 years is pretty old.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, yes, next year we will be 200 years old, and our theme is making history then and now, because we want to be able to talk about, you know, Elyria is a city of firsts and a city of makers, and a lot of people don't realize it, but it's an opportunity for us to really celebrate our past, but also kind of lay the groundwork for our future. And so we're going to be talking about lots of fun things, like how, you know, we were the first chartered high school west of the Allegheny Mountains, how we're the home of the modern-day bicycle seat, How we're the home of the colored golf ball and the sewing machine. And
what's the rubber heel? Do you know the story?
The rubber heel. Actually, we were the inventors of the rubber heel in the world. So if you wear shoes that have rubber heels, it was invented right here in Elyria, Ohio.
She also mentioned colored golf ball.
That's right.
How can I need to know a little more about a colored golf ball.
Well, there never were colored golf balls until the Worthington Company made one here. So the Studebaker, imagine that. So there's lots of history here, obviously, not just with products, but, you know, with individuals who had tremendous influence in the world. You know, S.C. Johnson from Johnson & Johnson was here at one time. And so we're going to use these opportunities. Our mural that we just talked about earlier depicts some of those individuals, both then and now, that are making a difference. But we're going to use the whole bicentennial as an opportunity to learn more about it. And also, you know, learn more about some of the innovations that are actually coming out of our community today that impact the world. A lot of folks don't realize that, you know, we've got global companies here making products that have a huge influence. And, you know, for example, BASF right down the street on Broad Street, you know, is the largest maker of lithium battery elements in the world and is going to have a huge impact on electric cars and other products of the future. And every company in our city has a story like that. So we're going to be telling those stories. We've got over 100 volunteers that have been working on this bicentennial. And if you go to our website, you can begin to see some of the major events that are planned for 2017. We're starting out with a Founders Day event in March, and we're actually creating a documentary about Elyria's history. And there'll be a kickoff event at Lorain County Community College where people can come in and view the documentary and then also see some performances from students. But there's events scheduled all year long. There's going to be a bicentennial ball. There's going to be a grand parade, a time capsule. There's probably a host of 15 to 20 activities, and all of them are listed on our website. But we're very excited about it, and we've even had, we want everybody to get in the act. In fact, on Thursday, we're going to make a big announcement, but I'll preempt it. How's that? Discount Drug Mart, which was actually founded in Elyria, Ohio, actually stepped forward, and they are our official souvenir sponsor for the bicentennial. And so the products will go on sale January 1st. And if you're looking for a gift for someone or you just like to be part of the bicentennial, the sale of all kinds of things, whether it's baseball caps, T-shirts, wine glasses, beer mugs, a whole array of things will be on sale. And all the profits go to the building of a new fountain in Ely Square. So we're excited about their sponsorship. It's going to be very helpful to us, and it's a way for all Elyrians. You can go to visit any Elyria Drug Mart. Right now they have bicentennial calendars available in the stores, actually, as we speak. So,
you mentioned the fountain. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple designs out there. What's
yes.
What might happen?
Well, we have a final design, and we are going to be releasing that very shortly, probably on Thursday. And we're very excited about it. It's kind of a combination of old and new. We had the citizens participate in a process to really kind of design it. And we are going to be kicking off a capital campaign for our fountain. We have to raise some funds to be able to do exactly what we want to do. But we think it's important. You know, Ely Square is such a beautiful setting. And we consider it Elyria's living room, quite honestly. And it's a place where people from all walks of life from our community come and celebrate life. We remember our veterans there. We have all kinds of celebrations and kickoffs and events. And the fountain has become something of a legacy project for us. People enjoy it. They want to enjoy it. And the one we have right now, unfortunately, is kind of on its last leg. It's been updated over the years, but it's come to the point where it needs to be completely replaced. So we think our 200th birthday is a perfect time to do that.
I'm sure technology has advanced well beyond what the fountain is operating under at this particular
time. It has. And, you know, that's one of the challenges is we've got some folks who really wanted the old-looking fountain with sculptures and all these other things, and then we had others who wanted it to be interactive. And so we have a sort of a compromise, I'd say. We're not going to make everybody happy, but I think we did a pretty good job of trying to incorporate a little bit of both. So the actual design is actually a three-tiered design. So we'll still have the big plume in the middle, which people really like. But it's actually going to have some infinity platforms so that the water will fall off sort of on an infinity plate. And then at the bottom, we'll actually have some sprouts of water shooting into the fountain from the ground. So there'll still be an opportunity to be a little bit interactive and touch the water going in. But it's interesting that you say one of the original fountains in Ely Square actually had that feature back in the early, in the mid-1800s. There's a big fountain in the middle, and then there were three structures around it, and the water was actually shooting from outside into the fountain, which is what a lot of modern-day fountains do today. So what goes around comes around.
Yes, it's all just watching water. And I will
That's
say,
right.
There's two times of the year where I really kind of get reintroduced to the square. The day in the spring when they turn the fountain on for the first time, you notice it and you see it sort of comes to life at the sign. And the other one is when all the lights for the holidays are turned on.
Right.
You had the big event this past weekend. Talk just a little bit about that and how
sure.
that always makes a bright spot for Ely Square.
So much fun. You know, we're so grateful to all the individuals and organizations that step forward to help make that happen with the city. But we had hundreds of people come out for a day packed of free events for children and families. And it was just, it's become a real annual legacy project for families. And it's a chance to make memories. So, of course, on Saturday, we opened up City Hall to the public. Sometimes it's one of the only times that the public actually comes into City Hall, although we'd like more people to attend council meetings. We opened City Hall up for a free coat and hat giveaway. Grace Community Church in Elyria actually sponsored that along with the Lorain County Correctional Institution. And the folks there made knitted hats and gloves, and we had a giveaway there. Our Parks and Recreation Department did a wonderful job sponsoring crafts. I sponsored a book giveaway to children, and we gave away 500 gift bags thanks to the generosity of people who just sent in donations. And then outside was really fun because we were able to have a petting zoo. Kids really love that, even with a real reindeer. So we had a reindeer and a yak and pygmy goats. Those are so cute. And an ice sculpture and all kinds of organizations singing our madrigals and the ukulele club. So there's just a little bit for everybody. The Elyria Arts Council was open for their Christmas tree contest. And then finally, Finwood Estate is just as brilliant as ever. There's over a quarter of a million lights. We've been able to replace all the older lights with LED lights with generous donations. And
right. I have to interrupt you for a moment. You're not responsible for setting up the lights at Finwood, are you at all?
Because no, I'm not.
Somebody set up a deer just catty-corner to the edge of the road. And if you're driving down Abbey and you just out of the corner of your eye, there's a deer standing there. I'm just saying, there's a traffic hazard.
I know what you're talking about. I mentioned that last year.
I'm just telling
well,
you, it's
people,
back.
If it makes people slow down, it might not be a
bad
thing.
There you go.
Because there's actually real deer that actually crossed
true,
there.
Yes.
I live in that neighborhood, so I'm very familiar with some of the deer challenges.
So it's a blend of realism and fantasy at the same time. Yeah. So.
But, you know, it's such a great place. Greg and I, my husband and I, used when our children were little, we used to dress them up in their snowsuits, and we live within walking distance of Finwood. And we would walk through the woods, and we would talk about the elves hiding behind the trees and, you know, look at the beautiful lights. And then you go in, and there's a train set up outside, and the entire house is decorated for the holidays. And it's just absolutely fantastic. So I would urge all of our families. The home is actually open through the 23rd of December. You can see Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus and have some hot cocoa and just have a wonderful time. After that, you can still drive through the facility, but the house will not be open, so our employees can actually enjoy the holidays too. So,
we're talking with Elyria Mayor Holly Brenda. And before we let you go, we do want to ask about the future of the Midway Mall. We know a planner went before City Council with some ideas, and I think I saw there was a mention of a possible sale of the mall. Can you bring us up to speed on what's going on?
Sure. Well, we've been working with the mall folks for almost 2 years now. And, you know, like so many malls across our country, Midway Mall's no different. It's struggling a bit. But it's still making a profit, and we want to be proactive about the future of the property. So the city did step forward, and we're working with the asset managers of the mall. The mall is expected to be sold sometime next year. Right now, it's owned by Chase Morgan, and it's part of a portfolio of five other malls in the country. And the reason we stepped forward with a development plan was we want to be able to attract the highest, best use for the property. Without data, without a feasibility study and identifying where the retail and other gaps are, we want to create a niche that's unique to Elyria. We don't want to duplicate, you know, Crocker Park or Strongsville Mall or North Olmsted. It won't work because people can go there for those things. But we do want to create a unique space that can attract people to Elyria for some unique opportunities. And we wanted to make sure we knew what those were. You know, we were thinking before we did this that maybe an outlet mall would be a good strategy. But what we found out from the data was it probably wasn't a very good strategy. So it's good we did it, because we don't want to incentivize a project with taxpayer money unless we know it's going to work. So we did hire a group out of Phoenix, Arizona. They're mall redevelopment experts. It's Jeff Green Partners and the Hoffman Group. And they spent all summer long looking at our mall, looking at contiguous properties, collecting data, and they came back with some recommendations to really try to strengthen the density and use of that property. So among some of the suggestions include really leveraging Penny's as the major anchor for the mall. Penny's nationally is doing very well. And we think that there's a future in Penny's, but also supplementing that with some larger discount retailers that aren't currently in our community, like Gordman's and TJ Maxx and Marshall's and some others. And then also maybe reconfiguring the space a bit. We're over-commercialized, so there's too much square footage of commercial space in and around the mall. So the recommendation is to actually shrink that space a bit and reconfigure it so that it's a little bit more in a square. That would promote cross-shopping and also the visiting of maybe some new entertainment venues and restaurants that are suggested in the plan. It also suggests pushing some of the retail and some of those outlying areas like across the street into that mall area to make it a little more dense. It also includes, we do have a lack of higher-end apartments, and so there is a recommendation for a building project for some higher-end apartments in that area as well. That would actually increase what we call feet on the street, the density of it, and encourage more people to actually shop at some of those areas. And, you know, with the new reconfiguration of State Route 57 and the 49th Street Bridge, we think that's going to help too. Already improving access to that area. We're seeing the building of the new Courtyard by Marriott Hotel out there right now. There's also a recommendation for yet a third new hotel. So we've got the new Hampton. We'll have a new Courtyard by Marriott. And there's a recommendation for another hotel there as well. The city actually owns the former Mountain Jack's property. It was donated to us to our Community Improvement Corporation. And we're going to be issuing a request for proposals soon on that project. So we're likely to see we're trying to attract maybe a sports bar or something like that, maybe a Champs or something in the area. So some positive things we hope are going to be happening. They're already bubbling up here as part of that, but we're really trying to take a proactive role. This plan will actually be handed over to the asset managers who are going to manage the sale of the mall. And it's a tool for them to attract the type of developer who's actually willing to make an investment in the property versus somebody who just wants to come in and buy it as it is and maintain it as it is, because we know it needs to change to be viable. So,
well, with the access from the Turnpike, 90, 57, people can get there easily. It's just a matter of getting there for them to come to
right.
do something there, too.
Right. And, you know, it's amazing, but there's over $800 million of retail going outside of this county right now. So people are spending money, but they're not spending money in Lorain County. And we want to change that. It's not that people don't have money to spend. They're going other places, but they need the products here that they're looking for elsewhere. And so that's one of the things that, you know, like I said, we don't want to duplicate what we're doing, but we think there's some ways to enhance that gap so we can recapture some of that retail that's leaving the county right now.
Lots going on in the community, not only with that. We talked about the bicentennial, so it's a chance to sort of reflect back at history, but also look forward to see how you can apply some of those lessons into the future. So
absolutely.
Lots of things going on. When you got elected mayor, did you realize at any time that the bicentennial would occur during your term, or is it one of those things you suddenly turn the page and go, oh, that's coming up now?
Yeah, that's what happened. I hadn't really thought about it, but I do think it's a wonderful opportunity to kind of celebrate our community and look to the future. Right. And, you know, there's some positive things happening today. We've got 60 new jobs from Duraline Corporation. The city's been working with them since actually 2015. We introduced them to the folks at the state, and they actually have an incentive package pending with us, too. So we've got Duraline, and we've got three other possibilities coming here before the end of the year, which is very good. We're hoping to clean up General Industries in 2017, which is very positive. We've been working with the state on that project as well, and they've actually given us a letter of intent for $300,000 to help finish the cleanup pending a contract with a company that we're negotiating with right now. So we think that's all going to happen here very shortly. So on the job creation and industrial side, things are happening too.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, Mayor Holly Brinda, joining us for our Spotlight on Elyria. Merry Christmas and have a happy holiday.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone as well.